Okay, good morning. We'll go ahead and get started a couple minutes early. Welcome to the late morning session of the Cotton Soil Management and Plant Nutrition Conference. First speaker will be Katie Lewis with Texas A&M AgriLife Research out of Lubbock, and she'll be talking about evaluation of cover cropping and tillage management on soil health crop production in a semi-arid environment.
Thank you, Paul. First, I'd like to give credit to my collaborators, Paul DeLon, as well as Wayne Keeling. So a little bit about the Texas High Plains. This area of Texas is a semi-arid environment. In 2014, we harvested 2.5 million acres of cotton, so it's an intensive cotton production area of Texas. Of those acres, about 50% is under irrigation. The yields, I think we produced about 2.6 million bales in 2014, which equals about 45% of the Texas cotton produced. Some of the issues or threats facing cotton production in this area go back to soil health, soil quality. So in this area, we have an inherently low organic carbon soil, sandy soil, very low water holding capacity. Some of the issues that we see with such low organic carbon is crusting, like you see here in these pictures. We have erosion, and like I said, very low water holding capacity. So if we're able to increase that organic carbon, organic matter, we can enhance aggregate formation and water holding capacity. So a project that was put together actually by Paul, the objective of this project was to demonstrate and quantify the impact of conservation tillage and cover cropping on soil carbon, soil health, and soil water holding capacity, and also subsequent yield of deficit irrigated cotton production. There were three locations to cover three different ecoregions of Texas. One of those was in La Mesa, Texas. Chillicothe, where Paul's research is conducted, as well as in Beeville with Jamie Foster. In La Mesa, this project was at the AgCares farm, or the Agricultural Complex for Advanced Research and Extension Systems. La Mesa is about 60 miles south of Lubbock. At this location, we had a rye cover crop and no-till management. It was initiated in 1998 by Wayne Keeling. We have three plots per treatment, and the plots are 16 rows by 76 meters long. So more of a demonstration type area rather than small plot research. I feel very blessed coming into a new position as a soil scientist to have an area like this where we have 17 years of no-till cover cropping systems. At this location, it's deficit irrigation under LIPA. The planting dates for the cover crops for this first, the information that I'm presenting today was December 2nd of 2014, which is actually a little bit later than what we have liked. We planted this last year right at the beginning of November. So we got our cover crops in a little bit sooner. The cover crops in 2015 were terminated at the end of March. And then following that, May 14th, we planted cotton. The cotton was harvested on October 28th. So in addition to the rye cover crop and the no-till management, we also initiated a mixed cover crop. The mixed cover crop consisted of hairy vetch, radish, winter pea, in addition to rye. And rye made up the greatest percentage of that mixture. So as I mentioned, it was conducted in La Mesa. At this location, we have an Amarillo fine sandy loam, so a very sandy soil, inherently low organic carbon. What we were looking at was the tillage and cover crop effects on soil organic carbon, soil health, soil water storage, and also cotton yield. Soil sampling and analyses. Initially, we took samples before the project was initiated. And then after that first cover crop termination, we went out and soil sampled to a 60 centimeter depth in three different increments. So 0 to 15, 15 to 30, and 30 to 60 centimeters. However, that was just for the more general, the organic carbon, total nitrogen, pH, and EC at each of those three depths. For the soil health analyses, we were looking at just the 0 to 15 centimeter depth. Soil moisture was monitored every 2 weeks using a neutron probe down to 140 centimeter depth. So moving on to results, remember, this is after 17 years of no-till cover cropping. So this isn't just the first year of results. We have the blue line that is our conventional practice, conventional tillage, just a cotton cropping system. The green line represents the no-till mixed cover crop species. The red line is the no-till rye cover crop. After 17 years, we have been able to nearly double organic carbon, at least in that 0 to 15 centimeter depth. However, when we move deeper in the profile to the 15 to 30 centimeter depth, we're not seeing much difference at all. As we move deeper in the profile, we do see more differences, but still, where we're accumulating that organic carbon is in that top 15 centimeters of the soil. Moving on to the soil health test, and Paul just mentioned to me that he's going to cover more about what soil health is, so I'm just going to briefly cover some of this. The first two columns we have are organic carbon and organic nitrogen. Those are the water extractable fractions of both organic carbon and nitrogen. As we just saw in the last figure, the rye cover and mixed cover no-tillage practices increase both the organic carbon and the organic nitrogen in that top 15 centimeters. Looking at nitrate, we had greater nitrate nitrogen in the mixed cover. With nitrogen, the fourth column over, this is calculated as the ammonium plus 70% of the nitrate plus microbial active carbon times organic nitrogen times 4. And this is something that is part of the soil health test. This is how he calculates what the available nitrogen will be for that upcoming growing season. With that, the mixed cover and the rye cover were greater, really no difference between the rye cover and the conventional. For potassium and phosphorus, there was no statistical difference. Numerically, we did see an increase with the rye cover and the mixed cover. That residue that we're leaving on the surface is breaking down, decomposing, releasing some of those nutrients back into the soil. With potassium, greater potassium in the rye cover compared to the mixed cover or the conventional practice. Now, what I think is really important, and I'm a little unsure, I guess, as to exactly how Haney's calculating the nutrient value, but I do think it's impressive that we are increasing the soil nutrient value using these cover crops and no-till systems. Soil health, once again, just like all the others, follows the same trend with the rye cover and mixed being greater as far as the soil health value is concerned. Now moisture. One thing before we start, I think it's really interesting to follow these trends. The bottom is rainfall events. So significant rainfall on the bottom, and then the top lines are the soil moisture, the stored soil moisture from that 0 to 140 centimeter depth in millimeters of water. So with a sandy soil, we would expect not to be able to hold on to much of that moisture, that rainfall that we're accumulating or that's falling. But when we do implement these cover crop no-till systems, like on May 14th, the fourth date over, we do see after we've terminated that cover crop that we have increased soil moisture in our profile when we use these management practices. Throughout the rest of the growing season, after we've planted cotton, we really don't see much of a difference in moisture. The cotton is utilizing what's there. Moving on to both the cover crop and the cotton yield results. For this first year, our rye cover crop yielded nearly 2 times as much as the mixed cover. I think a lot of that just goes back to competition in the soil, the rye, the mixed, other mixed species competing with that rye in that system. As far as nitrogen uptake, because we did have greater biomass produced, of course, we're going to have greater uptake with the rye cover compared to the mixed species. cotton yield, we saw no differences. The conventional yielded just under 900 kilograms per hectare of lint. Rye, it yielded just over 900, and then the mixed was actually less than conventional, but no statistical differences between those three treatment management practices. And talking to Wayne Keeling, who's managed this system for the past 15, 16 years, he said this is very common as far as what the results look like most years. There really hasn't been a trend in greater yields, nothing that he can follow. So in summary, 17 years after implementing this conservation tillage practice and rye cover, we have seen that we've enhanced soil health by the soil health Haney value. We've increased soil organic carbon, the nutrient value of our soil, as well as the soil water holding capacity compared to those conventional practices. However, we're not seeing any benefit as far as cotton yield goes, and we know that's where the money comes from. So if we're not seeing the benefit there, it's really hard to convince a farmer. But if we do are able to disseminate this information and show to them that we can improve the quality, the health of the soil, I think there is a huge benefit there for this region. So with that, I would like to thank all of you, and be happy to take any questions. Thank you. I think it goes back to the higher, the greater nitrogen availability, phosphorus and potassium. That all plays into that nutrient value. So it's the decomposition of those cover crops. So we are adding some nutrients back into the soil, mineralization that's occurring. Yes, sir.
My question is exactly the same one. With the nutrients that are in the cover crop are coming from the soil, especially P and K. So if you're removing the cotton crop from the same area, you've got nutrients removed. So I don't understand how your nutrient value can go up unless it's pulling it from, which is what I think may be happening, it may be going up. You're only talking about the 0-15.
Yeah.
So it must be, in my mind, that it's actually pulling from the lower zone where they would actually be decreasing in the nutrient value there. So what you're doing is, with the data, it's forcing the root system
to pull from
0-15, and really it's much deeper than that.
Yeah.
So I think it may be a little bit misleading to attribute to an increase in nutrient value, because if you're taking a crop off, the other cover crops are recycled. So you're not gonna, you can't add P and K by growing the crop.
One thing that we haven't looked at is cation exchange capacity, other parameters of the soil. Is it not possible that we are increasing some of those things so the nutrients that we are adding aren't more likely to leach, or we aren't losing them as easily as well? I agree with you completely, though, as far as I think we are pulling from deeper in the profile. I think there's other parameters that we could also look at to try to answer that question. Yes, sir.
You didn't mention that on the call, but I was on it. Have you addressed this whole issue of weed control or something like that?
Oh, that's a good question. I am a proponent of no-till systems, but I realize that there is a time to pull the steel out of the barn, to pull the cultivator out. I think that has to still be an option. We used hose pretty often. We went out and chopped weeds, chemical control, but when you have resistant pigweeds like we do in our area, it's a big problem.
Are you seeing any additional or any control of the resistant pigweed or anything with the cover crop?
No. It was just as bad regardless of what plot we were in.
Are you flat, edited, furrowed?
We're bedded in the conventional. We try to stay somewhat flat in the no-till stuff.
Are you not reshaping the beds in the no-till?
No, sir.
But you're sprinkling your...
Yes.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.